Good morning. It's good to see all who have gathered out here this morning as we come together to worship our God in spirit and in truth. Here's a familiar passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is teaching the disciples about prayer. And he says, "After this manner pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." This morning, a few moments ago, when Brother Cletus led us in prayer here today, I noticed that he addressed that prayer as he led us to our God and Father in heaven. Exactly what Jesus said here. Today, our nation, our society pauses to think about fathers. And I thought, what might be a Bible subject since we are thinking about that on this particular day? What might be a subject from the Bible that relates to what we in our society on this particular day happen to be thinking about? Well, there certainly is the Bible subject about dads, fathers, like many of us in this building here this morning are fathers. But then I thought about a Bible subject that's even greater than the earthly Father, and that is our Heavenly Father. So think with me today on this subject, Father, and specifically God, our Father. That's the phrase that's used in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. God, our Father. The word Father signifies God's role as life giver, as authority, as powerful protector. God is immense. God is all powerful. God is all knowing. God is everywhere present, having infinite power, mercy, and love. And God is called our Father. In fact, in the New Testament, God is called Father 245 times, if I've counted them correctly. God is called the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ 6 times. And Christians are called children of God. Children of God by adoption, Galatians 4, beginning in verse 4. Paul said, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." If you're a Christian this morning, you've been adopted. You have been adopted by God in heaven, and thus God is called your Father. In the Bible, in Malachi 2, verse 9, "Have we not all one Father? Hath not God created us?" And thinking about the subject of God, our Father, I want you to notice that God is called our Father in Matthew, Luke, Romans, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, Philippians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, Philemon. Is this a Bible description of our God, our Father? And the answer is yes. What further does the Bible say about God, our Father? In John chapter 1, verse 18, we see here that Jesus is the one who has made known the Father to mankind. John chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He, the Son, hath declared Him that is the Father." If you and I want to know what God, our Father, is like, the one who has declared or made known our Father in heaven is Jesus, His Son. In that model prayer that Davis read for us this morning, Matthew chapter 6, "After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven." Now that may not seem like an unusual title or description to you and I, because we are so used to hearing God described as Father. But I want you to notice that that is unique to Christianity among the world's religions. For example, in the religion of Islam, there is no concept at all of God as Father. Do they describe God as their Father? No, no concept of that at all. And yet in Christianity, God is not only our Creator, our Sustainer, our Provider, all of that. God is called our Father. What's the significance of that? It makes a personal connection between ourselves and God who created us. God is not simply God. God is God, our Father. In fact, it gets even more personal than that. Jesus in the garden and Paul in the book of Romans both described God as Abba, Father. Abba, Father. What's the significance of that? Abba is an Aramaic word. It designates Father, but it means so in a very personal way. Father may be more formal. Abba is that which is very personal, a close connection. God is not simply our Father. He is our Abba Father. You can't get any more intimate or closely connected than that. So the God of the Bible for the Christian is not some being afar off, far removed from us, but God is close. God is our Father. God is our Abba Father. Well, that leads then to the question, okay, why is God called Father? What kind of a Father is God? Four simple things here this morning, nothing profound here, simply reminders to us about God our Father. First of all, God is a Father who cares. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, He is called the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Again, the idea is not God as a being who is afar off, far removed, unconcerned, unconnected. That is not the God of the Bible. God is a God who is close at hand, and the reason He's close at hand is because He cares about us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible says we can cast all our care upon Him, for He careth for you. Most of us, probably when we think about our own earthly father, we think about somebody who cares. Yes, indeed. I realize there may be some fathers biologically who do not care about their children. There may be some fathers who do care about their children, but they are not in a position to actually take care of them. And then there are good fathers who care about their children, who are in a position to take care of their children, but even the best of the fathers among us is not perfect and is not flawless. But you and I can have a God, our Father, who cares about us, who is infinite, who is all-powerful, who is everywhere present. Now, you can't get any better than that. I mean, you can't get any better than that. I've only raised 6 children, my wife and I. But even of the 6 children that we have, I can't always care for all 6 of them. While there's some of them that are not under my purview, not under my vision right now, because they're far away. One real far away. Afghanistan sounds like a long way off. But here's what I can do. I can commit my children to my Father in heaven, and I can say to Him, Father in heaven, even though I can't look over them right now, I know You can. Even though I can't see them right now, I know you can. And even though I'm far removed, I know you are not. That's the kind of a Father that we have in heaven. Where could I go? Where could I go but to the Lord? Think about that. God is a Father who cares. Number two, God is a Father who provides. God provides what we need. God provides what is for our best. You remember in Matthew 7, beginning in verse 7, Jesus said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, to him it is opened." And Jesus there is talking about our relationship to our Father God. He is saying, you ask, you seek, you knock of God, and God will provide. The very thing that Jesus is talking about here in Matthew 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, is God's provision for us. But not only that, God provides for us even in time of temptation. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, Paul said, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape." Even in temptation, God says, "I'm going to be there for you." God is a Father who provides. I love the story of the two little girls talking to each other. And one of the little girls had her fist clenched, and her little girlfriend said to her, "What you got in your hand? What you got there?" And the little girl said, "I've got 10 pennies. And the other little girl said, "Let me see them." She opened her hand. There were 5 pennies in her hand. Her friend said, "You only have 5. She said, "No, I've got 10 pennies. "Well, you've only got 5 pennies. She said, "Oh, I've got 5 right here. But my daddy said he was going to give me 5 more, so I've got 10. You see, because of her daddy's promise, it was as good as done. Can you and I rely on the promises of our God? And the answer is amen and amen. God promises to provide. Indeed so. God is a Father, number three, who listens. I can't hear you. God is a Father who listens. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, the Bible says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." How important is that, to think about God actually hearing us? Watch 1 Peter 3, verse 12. "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous." There are the eyes of the Lord. You know that old song? There's an all-seeing eye watching you. "For the eyes of the Lord," that's the point that I made just a moment ago. Even when I can't see my children because they are geographically removed from me, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. And watch the next part. "And His ears are opened unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Well, now, which are you? Are you the righteous or are you doing evil? Well, if you are among the righteous and those who are children of God have received the righteousness of God, that's Romans 1, 15, 16, 17. Those who have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. If you are a child of God, you are described as the righteous. Now watch the promise then that is made. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Oh, I'm thankful for that. And His ears are open unto their prayers. The great privilege of prayer. Oh man, we could preach a sermon about that. In fact, we have in time past. The great privilege of prayer. God is a God who listens. God has always made Himself available to His children. And think about this great privilege of prayer, that you and I can have contact with the Creator of the universe, who is called our Father. Oh, think about the power of God. I can't even begin to mentally fathom the infinite power of God. But that's the one who calls himself Father to his children and says, now I'm going to promise you this, I'm not going to take my eye off of you, and I'm going to keep my ear open unto you. Does that sound pretty good? God is a Father who listens. Then finally, number four, God is a Father who forgives. One of my favorite parables in the New Testament is Luke chapter 15. Beginning in verse 11, Jesus told about a certain man who had two sons. You remember, we've come to call this the parable of the prodigal son. The younger son said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He divided unto them his living. The younger son took that inheritance, made a journey into a far country, and the Bible says, there wasted his substance with riotous living. In fact, it became so bad, Luke chapter 15, verse 14, a mighty famine came into the land. This man went out in the field to feed swine. He would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. No man gave unto him. I mean, this fella ends up not only wasting everything that he had been given, but ending up completely destitute. Verse 17 says, when he came to himself, here's the first step back, realization. When he came to himself, he said, how many servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Here's the second step, repentance. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, kissed him. The son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, am no more worthy to be called thy son. The father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, kill the fatted calf. Let us eat and be merry. Verse 24, for this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. I'm just reminding you of these details. Realization, repentance, return, then reconciliation. Oh, a great parable of our Lord. But I began making reference to verse 11. What's this parable about? Look back at verse 10. Jesus said, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. I want you to notice something carefully here. It doesn't say joy from the angels of God. It says joy in the presence of the angels of God. And in the parable, who does the rejoicing? The Father does. And what's the parable about? The parable is about not about a son, just any kind of a son or any kind of a father. Parable is about a sinner that comes back to God. That's what the parable is about. The parable is not just a story about a fellow that fell into misfortune. The story is about joy in the presence of the angels of God, in the presence of the angels, because the angels are there. And the Father is rejoicing. And what, Jesus, is the point of the story? It's about our Father in heaven rejoicing over the sinner that repents. That's why the story should be so well known. What's it all about? God is a Father willing to forgive. You remember the Bible tells us God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible doesn't say God is not going to allow people to perish. The Bible doesn't say people won't perish. What the Bible says is God doesn't want that. God doesn't want people to perish. How much does God not want people to perish? Here's how much. He so loved the world that you know the rest of it. How much does God really not want man to perish? So much that He gave His only begotten Son. What does all that mean? God is willing to forgive. God is wanting to forgive. God even sacrifices in order to be able to forgive. Does it sound like that God is concerned about us? And the answer is absolutely so. The portrait of God that Jesus gave to the world was that of a perfect, loving, caring, listening, providing Father. God our Father, a caring Father. God our Father, a providing Father. God our Father, a listening Father. God our Father, a providing Father. I don't know how anybody could get a handle on what the Bible says about this and not be compelled to love, respect, and reverence such a God. God is not only able, the God of the Bible is worthy. Why worthy? Worthy of riches, honor, blessing, glory. Why worthy? Because of what kind of God He is. What kind of God is He? Our Father. And I leave you with this final thought this morning. Who calls God Father? And the answer is His children. So I ask you the question this morning, are you a child of God? The Bible tells us in Galatians 3, 26 and 27, you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You become a child of God by faith when you put on Christ in baptism, according to the Bible. You may have an earthly father, you may have had an earthly father whom you love, respect, and admire, and that is as it should be. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, first commandment with promise, indeed so. And do that. But do not neglect your Father in heaven, and think about what your Father in heaven is worthy of. Are you His child? If you need to respond to God's invitation this morning, this very day, you can put on Christ in baptism. If that's your need, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?